thanks for joining us for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Today's special guest, James Turk from GoldMoney.com. Well, it's a pleasure to have James Turk back on the show, founder of GoldMoney.com, author of The Coming Collapse of the Dollar and How to Profit from It.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. It's good to be with you. And there is indeed a new book. It's called The Money Bubble, What to Do Before It Pops.
I'm sure that's a must read. And I wonder if we could start today with the summer doldrums in the precious metals. Typically, though, as the fall approaches, we have the Indian wedding season as well as Christmas, Hanukkah, and related holidays. As fabricators and manufacturers stock up on the metals, it tends to be a more positive time, at least for a price, and give some support. Tell us what you see happening in the markets, please.
Yeah, let's look at it from a big picture point of view, because I think that's what's really important. The low in this correction that began 3 years ago was actually in June 2013, you know, over 14 months ago. And the gold price has been slowly climbing higher. In other words, the low was in June of 2013. We had a higher low in December of 2013. We had a higher low again in June of 2014. And now we're testing that June of 2014 low. And I expect that June of 2014 low will hold. You know, what I'm basically saying is that we're in a bull market, higher lows over a period of 14 months. And during a bull market, at the beginning, you're typically characterized with, as they say, climbing a wall of worry. And, you know, everybody's worried here. Are we going to take out the June 14 low or the December 2013 low? Well, we'll see how it plays itself out. But I think the important thing that everybody should be focusing on is that, you know, gold is exceptionally good value down here. And as you say, seasonally, we're going into the seasonally strong time of the year. So one has to expect that, yeah, we're probably going to hold here and move higher as we go toward the end of the year. You know, we're actually up for the year, even though we're down. You know, it seems like, you know, we've been coming down the last few months. We're actually up about 5% for the year. So we'll probably have it up here again in the gold price when we finally get around to December 31st.
All eyeballs seem to be on U.S. equities right now. You know, the investment du jour that has captured the attention and fascination of hedge fund managers and the momentum crowd. We also, I think, see a slight flight to safety, perceived quality, I think, from Europe, at least on the Ukraine-Russia tensions that we've seen there and the potential for a new Cold War. And maybe that's a good segue into geopolitical issues. There's quite a few on the table because you are right there in Europe, this Ukraine situation. I think it could be an important piece on the chessboard in coming years for the precious metals.
Yeah, it doesn't look like the Ukraine situation is going to be resolved anytime soon. You know, even though they have a ceasefire in place, it's a question how long that will hold. And then the other issue, of course, is the sanctions that are being pursued. You know, the ones the West are imposing on Russia and the ones that Russia are imposing on the West. In that kind of environment, everybody loses. You know, it's not a shooting war, but it's a war, a financial war. And in a war, regardless whether it's a financial war or a shooting war, you know, everybody loses. You know, what's happening now is that economic activity is declining because of the sanctions. And then there's also the uncertainty as to, you know, what Russia is going to do with regard to its natural gas exports, which Europe actually depends upon. So I think geopolitical issues are going to be around for a long time. There's also a minor geopolitical issue right here in the UK. You know, I'm speaking to you from London. And next week, the Scots are going to vote on whether or not to declare independence from the United Kingdom. And I think that could have shockwaves. It's already had impact on the pound sterling, which has been very, very weak as the pro-independence movement has gained momentum and actually taken the lead in the polls. And there are other areas in Europe that could have an impact. For example, in Spain, whether if Scotland successfully breaks away from the United Kingdom and declares independence, what is the Catalonian region of Spain going to do? So, you know, basically people want control of their own destiny. And I think we're seeing that. It's been a trend in place for many, many years. And I think it's going to continue to be a major geopolitical force.
You know, it's interesting because I have family in London that were here recently visiting. Our U.S. dollar caught in a multi-year trading range within an even longer-term downtrend. And I wonder if you might bring together this concept of the reserve currency, its loss of hegemony, and how this could impact our purchasing power and on the geopolitical stage in the coming decade.
First of all, you know, the dollar has bounced. I wouldn't say the dollar is strong. It's more a question of the dollar being the strongest in among a number of weak different currencies. You know, the dollar has bounced simply because sterling has been weak and the euro has been weak because of issues relating to, you know, what's going to happen if Scotland becomes independent, what's going to happen in Europe because of the Ukraine and the bad European economy. But, you know, I think what history shows is that only strong currencies become reserve currencies. And, you know, when the sterling, British pound sterling, lost its status as a reserve currency, there was another currency waiting in the wings, which, of course, was the U.S. dollar, which, as they used to say back in the 1960s and before, was as good as gold. You know, that's no longer true because, you know, the dollar has been a very weak currency over the past several decades. But there is no obvious currency waiting in the wings to replace the U.S. dollar. So, you know, there could be a lot of turmoil in the international monetary system over the next several years for that reason, as well as for the reason that central banks are continuing to follow these misguided policies, you know, thinking that they can solve all of the world's economic problems by printing money. And we know from monetary history that, in fact, is not the case.
The fundamentals are just overwhelmingly strong, I think you'd agree, for the prospects of the metals, given all the issues you've touched on today. But the longer-term view, I think, is, at least technically speaking, is somewhat problematic. You know, maybe not the XAU so much, which appears to have washed out.
Yeah, I don't really think there's a new Dow trend. I still see what's been happening over the last 3 years of a correction of the previous 10 years, or 12 years, you know, when gold went up 12 years in a row. So I just see this as a correction, and this year's probably, like I say, going to be an up year. You got to take the long-term, big picture view of gold and of silver, and you have to ask yourself, you know, where are you going to save money today? It doesn't make sense to save a national currency because you don't get anything, any interest income on your bank account, and inflation is higher than the interest rate you receive on your currency, so you're effectively losing purchasing power. So my strategy has been for many, many years, and I continue to recommend this, is that the money that you save every month, that should just go into physical gold or physical silver and just play the long-term trend. The long-term trend has been up for the metals for, you know, 14 years to below in 1999. And every reason suggests, based on what's happening with central banks and government policies, that that's going to continue to be in place. So I've got to remain bullish on the precious metals, and I think precious metals are an important part of everyone's portfolio.
We've seen a flood of interest into equities, new highs, it seems, every week. The S&P 500, the Dow Jones Industrials, highest points, at least in the Dow, in over a century. The NASDAQ appears to be en route to its year 2005,000 peak, only a few hundred points away from that level. Is this a knee-jerk reaction following a 10-plus year consolidation in equities? And if so, do you see big equity flows and capital flows away from that market into the commodities and particularly precious metals?
You know, there is a bubble being blown out there, and it's called the money bubble. You know, it's the belief that national currencies are going to maintain purchasing power when, in fact, they're losing purchasing power all of the time. It's the misguided belief that government debt is supposedly a safe haven, and the currencies that's denominated in are safe. But in reality, they're not. So, you know, that's where the bubble is. And then the equities, I think, are responding to that bubble. You know, the Federal Reserve has printed trillions of dollars of new currency through expansion of its balance sheet. And that money has to go somewhere. And where it's going is into the equity market. The equity market isn't rising because of good economic conditions. That won't happen until we have more people working in the country than there were at the peak of 2007. You know, we still have less people working than the peak of 2007. And adjusted for purchasing power and inflation, average family or average household real income is less than it was, you know, 7 years ago. So in those kind of environments, you're not going to have a good economy, regardless what the what the government says. The stock market's going up simply because of Federal Reserve money printing. And if the Federal Reserve stops printing, and that's what they're basically been doing, they've been cutting down on the amount of quantitative easing they've been doing, and they say they're going to end quantitative easing in the fall. You know, that I think is going to create problems for the stock market, similar to what it did in 2011 when the Fed stopped printing for a period of time. And that was a very bullish environment for gold. So, you know, going toward the end of the year, I think everything's lined up for higher gold and silver prices.
I wonder if you'd like to share any contact information and what's going on at goldmoney.com, please.
Yeah, you can find us at goldmoney.com. Not only the work that I do, but also my colleague, Alistair McLeod, who's the research director at Gold Money. Thank you, Chris.